Hey everyone, this amazing ESO Network show is brought to you by our fine sponsor, Amazon.com. Please remember to shop Amazon for all your geeky needs, no matter what time of the year it is. All you need to do is go to ESOpodcast.com/ESOAmazon or click on the Amazon banner on the ESO Network webpage to go to our e-store. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. Okay, that's enough of me babbling for now. Now on with your regular scheduled show.
In a world filled with cigars, craft beer, comics, movies, and video games,
only two men are brave enough to search out all things nerdy.
It's the Cigar Nerds Podcast!
Hey, welcome to the Cigar Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Smokin' Joe.
And I'm Brad Jackson.
So this week we're going to be talking about the man, the myth, the legend, Wolverine. So we kind of have a cigar that was made after a man, myth, the legend as well. So what are we smoking this week, Brad?
So we're smoking the Crown Heads Jericho Hill. And, you know, this was kind of designed for the original Man in Black himself, Johnny Cash, you know, based on the song, what was it?
Cocaine Blues.
Yeah, Cocaine Blues from the album At Folsom Prison. Such a great album, too. Holy shit.
Yeah, so like, you know, this one is named after some lyrics from that song, because the sheriff from Jericho Hill is the one that, you know, arrests the man in the song.
It's but, kind of, you know, interesting, because this, you know, the band on the cigar almost looks like a badge of sorts, and, I mean, I gotta say, like, I've been poking fun at ourselves, not because of the cigar itself, but, you know, to find the Jericho Hill, we basically, you know, were forced to go with the smallest of cigars ever that we've reviewed on the podcast. And
yeah, the reason why we picked this is because we're going to be talking about Logan. And at one point in the movie, he steals a fistful of cigars from a gas station, and they're the Jericho Hill cigar. So we're like, we should review that cigar. And unfortunately, since we didn't have time to, like, order it or anything, the only size we could find is, like, the smallest freaking size it comes
in. So this is a, you know, 5x1x44, the 445 Corona. You know, but I gotta say, man, Dynamite comes in small packages because
I guess it's a 44S, it's like 44 special.
Is it? Yep. I can't see, my eyes are bad. So yeah, that may be for real. But this cigar comes out packing a punch right off the bat. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily put it over the full spectrum, but it's definitely a strong medium to, you know, hinting on the fuller side.
Yeah, it's got a Mexican San Andreas wrapper, which is kind of a nod to Juarez, Mexico, where the song takes place, and the Man in Black himself, with Nicaraguan binders and fillers.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is, you know, this cigar here is exactly what I prefer in my flavor profile. I mean, I don't know. I'm so partial to the Nicaraguan tobaccos now. And then that San Andreas wrapper just, you know, has that pepper to it that I just, you know, absolutely love.
Yeah, and so since these things are so small, we bought two of them so it would last the whole episode.
Yeah, but even buying two of these things, man, still like half the size of, you know, one of our traditional cigars.
So, man, this one might be a good cigar if you don't have time for a full-on cigar break and you need something that, you know,
you know what,
fit this in your time frame. We'll see how this one plays out.
You know what? I would say this is an excellent, you know, lunchtime smoke, or, you know, if you're pressed for, you know, only an hour or so worth of time, or, you know what, you know, I would even say, you know, sometimes sitting around a campfire or something like that, you don't necessarily want to be locked in the same place for 2.5 hours or so. So, you know, if you're out camping or whatever, plan on doing some fishing, like, this is a great, like, I can trek through the woods, finish my cigar, continue carrying on. And it's not something that I'm trying to rush through or commit for a 2.5 hour time frame.
And, you know, speaking of the Sheriff of Jericho Hill, if you're going to be hunting outlaws in Juarez, Mexico, or trying to track down the Wolverine, it's always best to call in the Strike Force. StrikeForceEnergy.com, they're a sponsor of this year's program. Veteran-owned company, maker of fine energy drinks that you just mix into water. You don't have to carry around a big can, so you can load, like, your pockets full of them. If you're going to the club and you need to go, you know, all the way up, You know, just kick the can, call in the strike force.
Shit, or if you're going to the range, I mean, just order the freaking 50 cal ammo can full. And,
yeah. Which now comes in a variety pack, because now that they have flavors, you can get the 240 count ammo can that has, you know, all four flavors mixed in there, so you can try a little of everything if you get, you know, bored with one flavor. Or if you're like me, where you're, you know, drinking a lot of that stuff, you can get the 100-dose bottle and just squirt that straight in your drink, or straight in your mouth if you're ballsy enough. Just not even mix it. Just do, like, straight Strike Force if you're brave. I may have to post a video doing that later.
Strike Force Energy Challenge.
Yep. And when you're on the Strike Force, use promo code CigarNerds for 20% off your order.
Or your subscription. Yep. Keep it recurring.
And with that, we'll be right back.
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. The needle tears a hole, the old familiar sting. Try to kill it all away, but I remember everything. What have I become? My sweetest friend, everyone I know goes away.
And welcome back to the podcast. It's time to talk about Wolverine.
Who? I thought it was Logan.
Yeah, he goes by many names. And we're not talking about the, you know, the band of freedom fighters that fought against the Russians back in the 80s. Those were the Wolverines. No, we're talking about the Marvel character played by Hugh Jackman, Wolverine.
Who says he will never play the character again every time they do a new Wolverine movie. Yet, he's always the Wolverine.
Until someone backs up a truckload of money and it's like, hey man, you're not that old. Come on.
Yeah. Let's do it.
You've only been doing this for 17 years.
Yeah. It's crazy to think about it being that long, too. Holy crap.
Yeah. The first appearance of Hugh Jackman as Wolverine was in the 2000, I think it was, X-Men movie, the first one, which...
Yep.
Those first three movies do not hold up well, but...
No, I mean, at the time, they were okay, but yeah, I mean... Dude, we wind a decade and yeah.
Yeah, now that we've kind of been spoiled by the, you know, Marvel MCU as what a freaking comic book movie should be. You know, back in the day, the freaking first X-Men movies were like, oh, these are badass because we didn't know any better. Now we're like, the fuck.
Yeah. When we did the X-Men episode, you know, a while back, I mean, that was kind of the thing. I was like, going back and rewatching these, I remember them being much like, I mean, at that time it was like, shit, yeah. And now I was like, oh, that really wasn't all that awesome.
But what was always awesome was Wolverine.
Yes. And, you know, we're going to, I went out and I saw Logan. You saw Logan. So obviously we're going to talk about Logan. So, you know, we'll try to give you folks a heads up before we get too much into plot, because I do realize it's still in theaters probably for a limited time now. But anyway, I guess we should talk about X-Men Origins, the Wolverine, and then go from there. Let's set the precedents.
The precedents?
I don't know. Fuck ever, dude.
Yeah, I mean, because of course, you know, Hugh Jackman was there for all the X-Men movies, and pretty much, you know, even with the rebooted series of X-Men First Class, you know, he's at least had cameos or small roles in each of those films as well. I mean, he had the, like, a brief scene in the first one where Professor X Magneto is going to recruit the team, and he was one of the people on his list to try to recruit. And he's like, they go in the bar, and he's like, you know, smoking a cigarette, and he's like, fuck off. And they're like, well, all right, never mind.
Yeah.
And then, like, in Days of Future Past, he had a much bigger role. And then, like I said, in Age of Apocalypse, we got the whole Weapon X Wolverine escaping from Alkali Lake facility, which that whole, him like raging out and escaping is probably straight out of the comic books. I mean, him in like,
I mean, that was very much Wolverine.
Yeah, that was probably the best portrayal of that sequence of, because reason why I say that's probably the best portrayal of that sequence is we get a version of that in X-Men Origins Wolverine, and it was not as good.
No, I would say it was very lackluster. I mean, it didn't have that same, like, I mean, you go back to the comics, and there was that, yeah, I mean, you know, the whole drive of vengeance there, and that kind of just dispelled and missed it.
Yeah. Origins Wolverine came out in 2009, directed by Gavin Hood, which it made for $150 million, made $373 million, so it was technically a success, but the critical reviews of it were like, everyone hated this movie for a multitude of reasons, and so it got so much hate that they canceled the X-Men Origins, like, series. They were planning on doing, like, origin movies for, like, you know, most of the big characters, but, you know, I think the next one up was supposed to have been a Magneto Origins movie, and they're just like, yeah, we're not going to do this again. Let's just go do X-Men First Class instead.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, Wolverine is one of those characters that's so iconic that, you know, you know when you think X-Men, you know, that's the main character for a lot of people that they can recall. You know, yep. Regardless of if you're a comic book buff or, you know, a movie buff, whatever, everybody, you know, is familiar with the yellow suit.
Yeah, that we've never, ever gotten to see.
Yes.
Except for in comic book form, and when we get to talking about the new movie. But yeah, like, the first, like I said, out of, you know, they've made three Wolverine movies, you know, X-Men Origins, The Wolverine, and then Logan. And this one is by far the worst of the three.
I mean, it does go to show that they've, you know, learned as they've progressed. So it's not, yeah, we got three terrible Wolverine movies.
No. And they've almost kind of, well, there's always like a huge, especially with Days of Future Past and all this other, there's huge continuity, like, holes in any of these, you know, Fox Marvel movies. But then again, if you look at, you know, the source material, there's a lot of continuity holes in the X-Men comics anyway. I mean, at one point, Wolverine, I think, was on six different teams simultaneously.
Well, I mean, you know, think about a character like Cable that's got the time-altering abilities and stuff like that. So, I mean, there's, you know, grounds there that time frames can be shifted and, I guess, allow, but... Yeah, there hasn't been a whole lot of, you know, continuation. It's pretty much like, oh, pretend this never happened and we went down this path.
And especially with these Wolverine movies, they've almost become just standalone films in the whole X-Men series, where there may be some slight references to occurrences, or, like, you know, if there is a post-credit scene, it may refer back to the larger universe, but yeah. Pretty much you can just watch, you don't have to watch all three of these. You can jump in pretty much anywhere and watch it as a single standalone story.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to see young Wolverine, watch, you know, Origins. You want to see middle-aged Wolverine, you know. So, I mean, you know, basically they've adapted Wolverine's character in the timeline as Hugh Jackman ages.
Yeah, because... Yeah, X-Men Origins Wolverine, it went back to basically when he was James Howlett, you know, when he was, because in the X-Men movies, he was always like, I don't have a memory of myself. I just, you know, kind of woke up one day like this, had a dog tag that said Wolverine and Logan on it. I mean, that's all I know about myself.
And there was, you know, something about a saber tooth.
Yeah. And this one goes back, you know, through his origin story of how he started off as a mutant child with a healing factor, and his half-brother, who would eventually become Sabretooth, and how he spent pretty much his life as a soldier, where he, you know, he fought in the Civil War, World War, both World Wars, Vietnam, like everything all
somebody
the way
somebody get
through
that up. Guy a medal.
Yeah. He's mostly metal.
Yeah, true.
And how many times in one of these movies are they going to, like, do a joke about him walking through metal detectors? I think that's a gag in every single freaking X-Men movie, is at some point he's going to walk through a metal detector.
I'm trying to think. Did they use that in Logan at all? I don't recall. I mean, it...
I know they did it in The Wolverine. I know they did it in the original X-Men movie. It's like... I think they even did it in whatever Days of Future Past at one point.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't recall off the top of my head. I don't think it was there, though. I think they were the wiser and were like, ah, we're going to admit this one time, see who catches on. These two guys sitting in a basement podcasting about this film, they'll be the only ones to remember.
Yeah, and in this one, you know, we have Liv Schreiber playing his brother, Victor Creed, later becomes Sabretooth. But yeah, eventually, of course, Wolverine gets tired of the war and stuff and tries to retire, and his girlfriend gets killed by Victor, so he goes back to his old army buddy Stryker who promises that he can enhance him, and that's where he gets his animanium and his metal and goes on a war path and finds out pretty much this was all set up just to get him to go through with the experiment so they could wipe his brain and turn him into a super soldier, but of course that never works out. You never piss off the Wolverine.
No, just don't do it. It's not going to end well.
Until he gets shot in the head with an antimantium bullet and loses his memory and explains why he didn't remember all this stuff happening to him when we saw him 3 movies ago.
Shenanigan.
But yeah, it was... The only thing about this movie is there were some decent action sequences, but the overall, like, story was just such a mess.
Yeah, I mean, it was... I think it had, you know, a good premise, but just poor execution.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, they introduced Wade Wilson as part of Wolverine's, you know, Vietnam-era
who's
Strike
that?
Force team. Yeah, who would eventually become Deadpool, but... But yeah, which is supposed to be a team of mutants. Wade was never a mutant. He was, like, you know, turned into a mutant pretty much by experiments later on. But for some reason, he's on the team. And then, of course, like, you know, it turns out Stryker's trying to wipe out mutants by building a super mutant, putting together a whole bunch of powers, and says, that's Deadpool. Which, no.
Yeah.
No. And that's one of the big complaints is, like, you
yeah,
know,
it makes my brain hurt trying to think about it.
That's why I've pretty much only ever seen that movie once, because they ruined, 'cause I was so excited, like, oh shit, Wade Wilson is this movie? We're going to get fucking Deadpool on the screen, and they gave us this, like, shit version of it. I was like, fuck Wolverine after this movie. And then also, one of my favorite characters from, like, the comics and like, the cartoon series was Gambit. And so they bring Gambit in, and he's, like, probably there for, like, 15 minutes of the movie. And just not that rememberable of
a role. Yeah. I mean, it's just, yeah, sometimes you know, I don't know. Like I said, I think they had a good premise, but it just not the right team. And I don't, you know, I mean, you got to think about too, like, where we're seeing Marvel films and stuff like that today, like, people weren't pushing those boundaries then. It was, no, we need to make, you know, family friendly and that type of stuff. And I don't think, you know, it allowed for, you know, some of the characters' personalities to really come through on the big screen.
Yeah, and we also had the one cool effect is this is like getting to see Wolverine pre Blades, where he had, like, bone claws and stuff. That was kind of cool. You know, the effects on that was all right. But, like I said, and, you know, that right there looks like it would hurt like a son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Those things are not sharp. Which, begs the question, like, when he did get all the antimanium, like, how come it just, you know, turned the, you know, his natural spikes into, like, samurai freaking blades? It's like, does he, like, you know, sharpen those things and shape them when they come out? Because, you know, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Nah, man, they just form that way.
Yeah.
It's like, I need this to be razor sharp, and there you go, you know? It's whatever the situation calls for. I mean, it could be like your Swiss Army knife.
He's got a spoon and a fork that comes out and a toothpick attachment.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just put a couple of spikes together. You got the scissors. I mean,
Oh, yeah. I mean, but just some of the action sequences in this movie were so ridiculous. Like him freaking jumping up and, like, taking out helicopters and...
Dude, there's always got to be a helicopter boss battle.
Yeah. Which, there was a game based off of this, and that was probably something like the biggest pain in the ass was fighting the helicopters in that damn game.
Such is the way of video games.
Yeah. But some of the cool things, I mean, we did get to see, like, some classic X-Men characters that we had not seen before.
Yes.
Like the Blob, which was...
Interesting, but I was like, of all the characters, we got the Blob.
Yeah, the Blob, how was it, Dukes, no, that, who's Duke? It had the, whatever, the guy that would teleport everywhere.
I'm trying to remember. Doo-doo-doo.
John Wraith. And, you know, rapper Will.i.am playing John Wraith. But yeah, I mean, it was kind of interesting. And also, like, when you go back and watch, was it the second X-Men movie where with Stryker, you know, why he hates him so much. Because he pretty much destroyed his whole project and everything else. And, you know, even though Wolverine doesn't realize why this guy hates him so much, you know, the one good thing in it is it filled in a lot of his backstory as it was in those first three movies. You know, and like I said, it explained, you know, how he got to lost his memory. And also it ends with them calling in Professor X to rescue all the mutant children that Stryker had been kidnapping.
Yes.
And kind of like, you know, how the original X-Men pretty much got started because, you know, he ended up finding Cyclops and a few other...
It's time to go to school!
Yeah. But, like I said, after this movie kind of did not do too well critically, they changed directors and gave us The Wolverine.
And I gotta say, this was a much better step up, in my opinion.
Yeah. 2013's The Wolverine, directed by James Mangold, who will also direct the Logan film that we'll be talking about in a minute. And yeah, he kind of went a whole different path with it, where each of these movies are pretty much standalone films. I mean, there's, of course, it takes place in the same X-Men universe, so you get, you know, X-Men references to the previous movies, yes. But, you know, you can kind of watch these without any kind of background or build up to it. And this one took place right after the, was it The Last Stand? So this is a Wolverine who has had to kill Jean Grey and is basically being a homeless dude up in the woods, kind of like Superman in, in that really bad Superman movie.
He's a 3%er.
Yeah. He's, you know, growing a beard, hanging out in the woods, trying to avoid contact with anyone that he may have to kill, and just having nightmares about, you know, being haunted by Jean Grey's ghost and making a bear friend.
Ah, bear friend. Yeah, I mean, it was really interesting, you know, seeing, you know, him without the healing factors, without a lot of the, you know, and without the, you know, the drive, just the, I want to escape and isolate myself. And
yeah, because at this point he's like, you know, he's left the X-Men, left everyone, because, you know, in A Last Stand, supposedly, you know, Patrick Stewart's Xavier was killed. He killed Jean Grey. And like I said, he just couldn't handle it anymore. And he's like, I'm just going to go live in the woods by myself and not care about anybody. But
how often does that really work?
Nah, it never does. Something always calls him back. But I did say his look there, he kind of looked like, you know, Yukon Cornelius Jack from the Rudolph the Reindeer cartoon.
Minus the ice pick.
Bumble's bounce. But yeah, he ends up in, but yeah, I mean, this movie pretty much starts off in like World War II, where...
Yeah, the dropping of the bomb.
Yeah, so, you know, Wolverine was in Nagasaki.
But I, you know, and I mean, I thought that was, you know, rather interesting, you know. I mean, you know, there he is. He's locked up in, you know, the freaking, you know, heat tunnel or whatever. And, you know, the other generals and stuff like that realize that they're screwed. So, you know, it's one of the few times we actually get to talk about seppuku on the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this one soldier, you know, realizes, like, you know, what's coming. And he, you know, decides to, instead of forcing everyone, you know, decides to give everybody a chance, you know. So he releases all the prisoners and goes to release Logan, who apparently has pissed somebody off, so he's in the hole. And he's like, yeah, I ain't coming out, because there's no outrunning that stuff. You're more, you know.
You're better off down here with me.
And you know, the other officers are like, no, we're going to have to end this. They all start, you know, killing themselves. And the one guy, he kind of chickens out and won't do it and sees the bomb drop. And then Wolverine actually comes up out of the hole, grabs him, throws him in, and protects him. So, you know, he feels like he owes Wolverine his life. So, you know, he has gone on to become like a rich industrialist tech guy. You know, he's like the Elon Musk of Japan. And, you know, sends his bodyguard ninja chick to visit Wolverine and tell him, like, you know, he wants you to come so he can thank you for his life. And, you know, he owes you his life, and so he wants to be able to say goodbye to you. So she talks him into coming back to Japan and meeting him.
Once again, never an idea to visit the ghost of your past.
Yeah, because pretty much, like, this guy kind of turned into a douchebag. It's Wolverine's fault. If you'd let him die, you know, none of this would have happened.
Sometimes you just got to let nature take its course and not turn on God mode.
But Ichiro is the soldier who he saved. And basically he offers him, because at this point, like I said, Wolverine has given up on life and he doesn't want to be a part of this world anymore, but unfortunately, he can't die, and this guy is someone who's willing to hold on to life as hard as he can, so he's like, we have the technology, I can take your healing factor and let you die, like, you know, just, you know, make
you'll you grow human. Old, you'll be, you know, have a normal old life.
Yeah, and so he makes him that, you know, that offer, like, you know, I'll be the immortal, like, but Wolverine's like, yeah, that sounds dumb, I ain't doing that shit. But, so since he, you know, refuses the offer, he decides to take his own immortality.
Shenanigans.
Yeah, so, unbeknownst to Logan, they installed some kind of nano device that's draining his powers, so he's, like, slowly becoming mortal and having to deal with, oh, I can't just, like, you know, take bullets. Like, I've got to be a little bit more careful.
I've got to pace myself.
But of course he falls in love with Mariko, who is the granddaughter of his old friend. And, you know, supposedly, you know, she's going to be the one to inherit everything above her father. So when that happens, you know, he tries to have her killed by the Yakuza and whatnot. And Wolverine's having to, you know, save her. And but then there's the whole, apparently, you know, old man, not dead, he just faked it so he could finish out his master plan, which is to apparently become a giant robot. In typical Japanese fashion.
Everybody wants really, a Gundam really suit. Small things, except for our robots. And our monsters.
Yeah.
Puppies and kittens, very, very small.
Damn kaiju. Yeah, so apparently this guy, you know, he was had ninja in his family and has still maintained a ninja clan. So they come and, you know, save the daughter and then kidnap her and to lure Wolverine in so they could finally steal his powers and make him fight the Silver Surfer, which is his old buddy Chiro in a robo suit. But I got to say, like, I like the Japanese, because, you know, the Japanese are very, like, reserved, and even their criminals are kind of like, you know, they got weird honor stuff, but Wolverine is just, you know, the fucking beast. Yeah. And him trying to fit into that culture is kind of amusing. And it's, and you know, it's also a story of him going from a point where he almost would have took the "Yeah, I'll let you kill me" offer to, you know, kind of saying goodbye to his ghosts and wanting to live again.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I guess once you're, you know, put in that position, it's like, do I really want to give it all up for this? And, you know, you start weighing the pros and cons. Or, you know what? Maybe he's less selfish than, you know, he's portrayed to be. And is like, just shouldn't entrust somebody with that much power.
Yeah. Because, you know, because even to him, you know, it may not be a thing where I'm like, I don't want you to have this power. It's just like, you don't know what you're asking for. Like, yeah. I know how bad this sucks. I don't want to punish you by making you immortal, you know, because then you're going to have to live with this shit like I've had to live with this shit, and it's not that fun.
The shit ain't fun to live with, Riggs.
Yeah, I'm getting too old for this shit. but yeah, he learns the to love again with a, you know, a Japanese lady.
In typical Wolverine fashion. He's got a definite soft spot, though.
Yep. But say one, a couple of things that stand out about this movie for me was the, I like the, like I said, this one, you know, like I said, in the other movies, you've seen him slicing up people, but you know, you've never seen, they never make it like really clear, like, oh, he's kind of just stabbing people in the stomachs and the chest, you know, because like I said, all these movies have been PG, PG-13, so, you know, you never get any blood in it, but this one you actually see him, he's definitely killing some people. I mean, especially like when he gets to Makiro's father, I mean, you see the blades, you know, go through the back, the neck and out the back, so it's like the first time you're like, oh yeah, Wolverine's, you know, racking up a body count. Jacking up some Yakuzas.
Yeah, gotta love the, I don't know, like at some point I'm almost waiting for Han to make an appearance or something.
The head of the ninja clan did kind of look like Han.
Yes, Simon.
That's why they needed to throw some Tokyo Drift in there. But also the, was it probably the most badass way to light a cigar ever? Because Marvel, basically, you know, one of the characters of Wolverine, probably why he's one of our favorites, is he's a cigar smoker. He's always been a cigar smoker.
Nah, and, man, it's just because he's a straight-up badass.
And even when Marvel went no smoking, they made an exception for Wolverine because it was so intricate to his character that, you know, they're like, all right, well, no one else can smoke in the Marvel Universe, but we'll let Wolverine blaze up occasionally. And in, like, the final sequence when he's like, all right, I got to go to the Ninja Village and save my girl, as he's, you know, leaving the compound, he sees, like, a stack of cigars. He's like, take some cigars for the road. So when they get into this village fighting all these ninjas, Yukio, who is the his, you know, ninja bodyguard girl who went and tracked him down, they're running over ninjas in a freaking snowblower, and they're surrounded, and he's finally like, just run for it. Pulls out a cigar, throws it in his mouth, and then jams his claws in the gas station, exploding the whole thing, and then gets up smoking his cigar. That's going to be the most badass way to light a stogie.
To date yet, yes, absolutely. And I think when we talked about, you know, some of the X-Men stuff, we brought up that scene. I mean, because it, you know, it fit our niche.
Yeah, I mean, I'd completely forgot about it, because I think I'd seen this movie like one time when it was in theaters, and I've not watched it since. And I was like, I completely forgot about that sequence, but that's bad as fuck.
Yes.
Lighting a cigar with an explosion.
Gotta try it sometime.
Yeah. And then the sequence after that where he's trying to make his way up the mountain and all the ninjas are like trying to pin him down with like ropes and like nothing to stop. Finally they start like hitting him with poison arrows and stuff where it's like when he finally collapses, he's got like, he's like dragging like 30 ninjas behind him.
He is not a guy that I want to fuck with.
No. Like, you not get him, like, full rage, rage monster. It's, like, it's going to be hard to put him down.
Like, no, that's I need to make friends with that guy, because not enemies.
Yeah, and then we get the sequence of him fighting the Silver Samurai,
yeah.
Who has, like, flaming antimantium swords that can literally, like, slice off his claws. It's, like, the one guy who's, like, oh, this guy might actually be able to kill Wolverine. Like I said, there's no one else that you're like, yeah, he could, you know, this is a decent fight. You know, cause Wolverine always heals. There's no like, you know, risk of, even if he loses the fight, he's not going to die.
Yeah.
This is like the one time you're like, oh shit, he may die.
I mean, he lost his claws.
Yeah.
I mean, that's to speak to some volume, right? I mean.
Which also made no sense because the very next movie, he's got bladed claws again. So they never explained like what happened. Like I said, that's continuity is a little bit weird in the X-Men universe.
At least there's a universe that they stay in, though.
Yeah. Does the metal grow back? I mean, don't know what the.
I mean, maybe it's like a lizard's tail. I don't know.
Because after he loses the metal, you know, his bone claws grow right back. But yeah, it's like, you know, did he go, you know, download some, you know, animanium to to repair his stuff? But speaking of like the famous costume, we've never gotten him in the, you know, in any of his costumes, but in this one there is a alternate ending and deleted scene that if you see, like, you know, when he's getting on the plane at the end to leave and, you know, his sidekick is going with him, you know, they give her a box. Well, you never see what's in the box in the final cut of the film.
But it's definitely implied.
But in the deleted scene, she presents Wolverine with the box, and it's like they've made you some, like, you know, you are a samurai now. They've made you some samurai armor, and he opens it up, and it's his golden brown, like, original Wolverine costume. So you never get to see the costume. You just never actually get to see him use it in any of the movies.
Yeah, I don't know. I want to see that, though.
Yeah, see Hugh Jackman in the full Wolverine. I mean,
it would almost be, you know, seeing Ryan Reynolds in full Deadpool mode.
Like, yeah.
I mean, that's such an iconic thing that it needs to happen.
Yeah, I mean, if they are able to talk him to coming back for a moment, because, you know, they've always teased, like, he should be in the next Deadpool movie. If he's going to show up in another movie, he needs to show up in, like, full Wolverine gear.
Just that, or, you know, like, fucking him, Tom Holland, and fucking Ryan Reynolds all go to San Diego Comic-Con and, like,
oh, shit,
the character suits, but it's actually them. That would be fucking iconic.
Yeah. Because it's like, you know, him, what was it? I think the Deadpool movie would be, like, the one spot where people be like, all right, yeah, we get it. That's because, I mean, their version of Colossus was much more comic book than any other Colossus
that we've seen before.
So I think Wolverine, and like, even if they went full yellow spandex, I think it would fit in that movie.
Man's balls might be too big to fit in that suit, boy. He's definitely been through some trials and tribulations.
Oh, yeah. So that brings us, spoiler alert, to Logan.
Yes.
Based on the, kind of inspired by the, because the storyline's not exactly the same, but the old man Logan comic book run, where we have way into the future, and also directed by James Mangold. And this was like the lowest budget this is only a $97 million, but so far it's made $523 million, and it's still in theaters. So yeah, this is probably going to be the most successful of the Logan Wolverine films, and it's got to be because the R rating. I mean, this was the story we've been waiting on. Because, like I said, for the previous films, they've been like, you know, kind of shied away from the violence, and
I mean, it was implied, but you know, it'd be like, oh, we're going to cut away now, and you know, then come back to it. And
but this one was full blood spurting, you know, impalements. Body parts getting torn off. I mean, when you're dealing Wolverine, that's what you expect to see. I mean, Wolverine is probably one of the most violent characters. And, you know, to kind of, like, neuter him like they have in the previous movies is a disservice. But, like, this time we get to see, you know, Wolverine at his most Wolverine. Even though he's kind of old and washed up. I kept waiting to look at freaking, you know, Xavier and go, I'm getting too old for this shit, Chuck.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and I think that was one of the things that really made this film, you know, kind of stand out is, you know, no longer are, you know, we in the safe space, you know, of, you know, having the school and, you know, the organization and all of that. It's No, we're out on the run. We're in the shit. Like, yeah, there's
no,
you know,
he has no resources available to him. He's pretty much this is a world that is, you know, another 15, 20 years in the future. It takes place in 2029, and the X-Men are gone. Most mutants are gone because they're like, there's not been a new mutant born in 25 years, and the rest of us are just kind of aging out. And even Professor X, who is still alive, but he's got to the point where he's has a diminishing mental capacity, and he can't control his powers anymore, so he's having seizures that make him basically, they said at one point, say his brain's been classified a weapon of mass destruction, because they imply that he, you know, lost it and accidentally killed some of the X-Men and some other people. That's why Wolverine's got him out in the middle of the freaking Mexican desert, where you can't hurt anybody if he does have an episode. And the great warrior Wolverine is freaking driving a damn taxi or a freaking limo.
Yeah. But I mean, I gotta say, man, like the start of the film, you know, where you see Wolverine in the back seat, you know, getting disturbed by, you know, some people trying to, you know, jack the rims on his vehicle and stuff, and like, dude, this film didn't, you know, hold no punches. Like, it started right off the bat, and you were like, oh shit, this is Wolverine.
Oh yeah, because he's asleep in the car, and there's a bunch of thugs trying to steal his tire, and he's. Like I said, this is a guy who's seen a lot of things, but he's still, and he's like, and he tries to be nice. He's like, guys, you're going to scratch the rims. Nobody's going to pay for this. And they turn around and shoot him. And he gets back up and he's like, guys, seriously, like, knock it off. And it still gives him like another chance. And then they start, you know, a fight ensues. And finally, he just goes full berserker barrage and like slices dude's arms off and just kills like half of this crew. And I do like, because like, even when they start shooting at the car, and he's like diving in front of the car, trying not to get the car scratched.
I mean, I think he would have been okay had it not have been for that one round that struck the car.
Yeah.
And that's what
set... Well, it's like when he cut the guy's arm off and his hand falls and it shoots the car, and he's like, fuck. And like, I've been trying to stop the car getting hurt this whole fight, and I'm the one that scratches the car. but then he just goes like freaking, I mean, that's like when you first like, oh shit, this is going to be an R-rated movie, when he's like, you know, goes claws right through some dude's head and you see the blood spurt and everything else. And you're like, oh yeah, it's on.
Yeah. I mean, and that's one of the things that, you know, we talked about it a little bit before that, you know, a lot of that got shied away from, and you know, this go round, I mean, it's raw. It's in your face. Like shit, that's how somebody's going out. Like, I mean,
yeah. And I like this is kind of like the introduction, because last time we seen Wolverine, he was in his prime, and now it's like this is a Wolverine at the end of his life, where the animanium is starting to basically cause cancer. He's basically getting poisoned from the inside, so which has not been a problem until now, but now that he's kind of older, his healing factor is degenerating, and he's not healing as quickly as he was. And like when he goes to pull out his claws, like one of his claws doesn't come all the way out. Like he needs like, you know, Viagra or something now. He's like, can't get it all the way up.
I need the little blue pill, man.
Yeah. And he's just kind of like freaking alcoholic dude. That's just like, you know, it's probably gotta be one of the worst curses. Like when you're basically an immortal and you live to, you're like the last person. I mean, all your friends are dead. You just get you and a crazy freaking Professor X and, you know, Caliban. That's,
yeah, and it was really weird, you know, just, you know, how, you know, that little trio worked, you know. You got the tracker, you got the professor, and there's Wolverine, and, you know, we're feeding the professor ibuprofen and basically serving as hospice.
Yeah. And Caliban, played by Stephen Merchant, too, who is a comedian. And it's kind of interesting seeing someone who is primarily, like, you know, does comedic roles playing, you know, I mean, he had some funny lines, but pretty much a serious role.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool to see the range of some of these guys that you don't expect could be a legitimate actor pulling off like some stuff like this.
Yeah. And no doubt. I mean, you know, I don't know, this film, you know, just stands out so much more just because I think of some of those dynamics, and you know, like this is the Wolverine film that I've been looking for.
And, well, I'll get into, there's, like I said, once you first see Wolverine's house, the sword from the Wolverine that he supposedly, you know, inherited from the samurai is hanging on the wall. So there's like little nods to like, you know, the larger universe. But there's like, when we get to talking about the end of the movie, there's some, definitely some reference pieces that, that, you know, kind of go back to that last movie. But yeah, like I said, this is a Wolverine that's, he's basically just trying to get up enough money so he can buy a boat and him and Charles get out there and the, spend his last days out, because he knows pretty much they're both dying, and he's like, let's, you know, get out on the waves and, you know, do some fishing and, you know, have a nice quiet retirement, and I can get you out here away from the general public. That way, if your brain goes wonky, that, you know, there's no one out here, you can hurt us up some fish.
Or me.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's the thing, you know, I mean, you know, he is pretty much the surviving original member of, you know, X-Men after, you know, that event that's alluded to. And, you know, even he has a hard time, you know, trying to get to Charles when he has an episode to give him his medication and stuff like that. And, you know, if not for his healing factor, hell, he wouldn't have lasted near the, you know, time that he did.
And, you know, they, you know, kind of allude to that, the fact that, because they never really, you know, he doesn't tell, because obviously Charles can't remember certain things, and he doesn't know what happened to him and what happened to the rest of the X-Men, because Logan's like, yeah, I'm not going to tell you, because... but, yeah, and then they introduce X-23, Laura.
Which is fucking awesome.
Yeah, because, you know, basically it turns out that the reason why all the mutants are gone and no new mutants have been born is because this shadow group, Alkalade, was it Transgen, has basically been putting supplements in all our foods and stuff to prevent, you know, mutation. And, you know, so as they've wiped out the, all the pretty much old mutants, they've started taking DNA samples and trying to produce their own super soldiers, which they decided to make these kids and try to raise these kids up to be soldiers. And that plan didn't work because, unfortunately, these people have personalities and you know, they're not, like, just mindless beasts. So they're like, all right, let's wipe out this program, start over, and make us our own, like, soulless weapon that we don't have to worry about personalities or raising children. And so the medical staff that was raising these kids tried to basically underground railroad them and get them out from under the control. And one of the, probably the most badass of them was this little girl that was made with Wolverine's DNA. So technically, like, she's his biological daughter.
Yeah. Which, I mean, to see her in action and everything else, I mean, like, I mean, was just freaking awesome. I mean,
yeah.
You know, at one point, you know, a bunch of the Transient guys shows up and, you know, they're on the trail of Wolverine and Charles and everything looking for the girl and, you know, like, dude, her coming out with a fucking dude's head just rolls him over to the guy's feet. Like, really, you want to do this?
Yeah, because at this point, like, they have no idea what her powers are. And Wolverine just wants to leave her. He did not want to take her to, because they were trying to get him to take her to Canada. And he didn't want to do that shit to begin with. He's just like, I got to get Charles out of here. And, you know, he's going to leave the girl behind. And Xavier's, you know, trying to convince him, like, you know, we're X-Men. We need to help this girl. And he's like, but yeah, I'm done being a freaking hero. But yeah, when the soldiers go in to, like, take her because he's left her in the house, you just hear this, like, god-awful battle, and she just comes out like nothing's happened and then freaking just rolls ahead across the at those guys.
But, I mean, you know, I don't know. I think her character was so awesome because, you know, for very much of the film, she's completely silent. You know, her and Charles are communicating, you know, with, you know, some telepathy thing kind of going back and forth, but I didn't even realize the girl could speak, and, you know, for just to rely on her facial expressions and her acting, like, to be as, you know, awesome of a character as she was, just, I thought it was pretty freaking sweet.
Yeah, and when they do, and, like, yeah, but she goes first, like, that berserker where her and Wolverine are fighting all these soldiers and stuff, and she's, like, holding her own. It's, like, it's definitely, because Xavier's like, she's like you. She's very much like you. But yeah, when they escape and are on the road and they stop for, like, you know, supplies, freaking I love the interaction between old man Xavier and Logan having to like be his nurse and stuff and help him go to the bathroom and everything else.
Yes.
Those two arguing. He's like, you know, she's 9 and I'm fucking 90. We've been on the road for 2 days. The only one, fuck you. We're going to take a rest. Oh, but yeah, she goes.
But I, you know, and speaking of that though, you know, the non-professor version of the professor, I think, yeah. You know, because, you know, you never hear him cuss. You never hear him, you know, anything outside of I'm going to be this upstanding role model. But here it's, you know, truly kind of no fucks are given.
No.
And he's pretty raw and pretty blunt. Like, I almost wonder if half the time Wolverine isn't trying to keep him drugged just to like, all right, quit going all dad mode on me.
Yeah, because there's this, yeah, and I like how, you know, she's kind of grown up unsupervised, and he's trying to teach her to be a little more human, where pretty much Xavier had to do that for Wolverine, because Wolverine was very much a kind of a beast when he first came to the X-Men, and, you know, Charles taught him how to be a hero. So there's that sequence when they're in the gas station where she's out riding the freaking quarter machine horse and runs out of quarters and gets pissed off and goes to like smash the machine. And he's like, no, here's a quarter. Don't claw the box open.
And then, but last ride.
Yeah. And then when he goes in to help Xavier, she goes into the store and starts like, you know, freaking shoplifting. Got like some chips and a sunglasses.
I mean, technically, she never left the store, though. I mean, yeah, she's got an open bag of chips, an open drink, and sporting some new shades. But, I mean, she's still in the store, so she hasn't shoplifted anything yet.
But when she tries to run, and the guy grabs her, and she flips him and like pulls out the claws ready to kill him, and he has to come in and grab her, and he's like, no, we do not do that. Get out. You know, he's like, stealing's okay. Just don't like stab the guy. And he's like, hey, y'all got like a car charger for a phone? He's like, yeah. So he steals the phone and a handful of Jericho Hill cigars and goes about his business. Because Steven's okay. We just don't want to kill anybody. And I do like the, because supposedly, you know, the nurse that is protecting the girl before she dies tells Wolverine that there's a mutant sanctuary at this certain location. And he's kind of going through the girl's possessions, trying to find more, and finds all these old X-Men comics. That's the only time we've seen, you know, and it's like, looks like that our classic X-Men comics with the yellow spandex and whatnot, because, you know, in this world, you know, people have known of the X-Men and, you know, their legends, you know, and he's like, this is all bullshit, you know, most of the stuff didn't happen, you know, people died and whatnot, but, you know, in this next generation of mutants, they're the, you know, the people to look up to.
Yeah, and I, you know, I thought that was really kind of awesome about this film is, you know, the throwback and these are, you know, how these people in the comics did this. So like this, you know, their whole action is really based on what the original X-Men was founded upon. Like, you know, and even like, you know, you see, you know, what was it? The freaking, the test subject number, I think, you know, from the comic book is actually, you know, see that
X-23 is the pretty much, well, they use it as like all the kids were part of the X-23 program, but in the comic books, was it Laura or she was actually X-23.
Yeah.
Where Logan was X-1.
But there were even some other subtleties, you know, that, you know, were there in the comics, and, you know, that's why to those kids, there's so much truth there. It's like, well, I am this number, and, you know, here is this number referenced here, and these are the things these people were doing. And
yeah, when later on when they get to the rest of the kids, like, one of them's even got a Wolverine action figure. I mean, he is like, you know, they're wanting to be good guys because of this example that they've learned from friggin' reading comic books.
See, so not all comics are bad, okay?
But yeah, and then we get the whole, like I said, you know, where they go to hide out in Vegas before to get some clothes and a new ride, and the professor is showing her like a classic old Western, and, you know, explaining, and it's, you know, Parallels about, like, you know, giving up, you know, the fight. You know, it's like, you know, it's like once you start killing people, it's always gonna, you know, be there, and you know, you gotta learn with. So that's why I can't be here and be a part of your family, is because, you know, I'm a killer and I gotta go be a killer. And it, like I said, it's very pretty much like Wolverine, you know, especially trying to tell, you know, like, you still have time, you know, have a family, you know, be part of something. And, you know, and Wolverine's kind of like, nah, I can't be a part of a, you know, I'm once a killer, always a killer. I might be an old killer, but I need to be by myself.
But I mean, you know, you do see, you know, really his breakthrough in humanity and stuff. I mean, you know, when they, you know, they're driving through and, you know, the accident happens and you got all the horses scattering about the, you know, freeway. And, you know, Wolverine's like, no, let's keep moving. Let's keep moving. And Charles is like, nope, you know, we can help these people. We're here. So, you know, Charles helps calm the horses and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, like once they go back to the family's house for dinner and stuff, something happens with, you know, the well or the water pump or something like that. And, you know, that whole confrontation that ensues, you know, them being on, you know, other property to fix this well and have a group of guys show up and, you know, basically be like, what the hell are you doing? We own this and yada, yada, yada. And, you know, he's like, all right, you see him step up for the good of humanity. And, you know, you see some of that come out, even though he's straight up badass and freaking breaks shotgun over his knee.
And much like it was in that, I wish I could remember what freaking Western they're watching, but pretty much same that where this guy Shane comes in and protects, you know, who's a gunslinger and protects the town folks. And you know, I mean, it's pretty much the same thing. You know, here's Wolverine, the random outlaw who comes to town and protects this family. And although it does not go well for any of them, because the Reavers show up with X-24, which is a roided out, mindless version of Wolverine where it's just his rage.
Yeah, no emotion, no humanity whatsoever. And, you know, that was freaking crazy watching them two duke it out. Like,
yeah, and like I said, he comes in and, spoiler alert, you know, Professor has gotten his memory back and he's like kind of trying to confess his sins to this, because it looks like Wolverine, yeah. This person who thinks he's Wolverine in the darkness when he comes out and ends up killing the professor. And then pretty much the entire family just to try to get the girl. And when he gets outside, those guys Wolverine beat up shows up like a whole bunch of them. And they think he's Wolverine and piss it off. So it just goes like complete berserker barrage on these dudes and kills everybody. Oh, but yeah, I mean, freaking Patrick Stewart needs to get, like, you know, an Oscar or something for his... I mean, this is probably his best work, this final portrayal of Professor X, because it's just so...
Oh, yeah.
Like, heartbreaking, nearly, of, like, the... This is a man who's been, like, the savior of, you know, mutant kind, and now he's, you know, fallen apart and just trying to, you know, make one last hoorah.
Yeah, and it's crazy, too, because, I mean... You know, within the X-Men universe, we know that there's no continuity. Is this the last of the Professor? I mean, I'm sure that we'll get some kind of spinoff and probably see him again or something like that. But, you know,
So is this the last of this Professor?
Yeah. But, I mean, I did not see it.
McAvoy's still got a couple movies left.
Really ending quite the way that it did, though.
Like, yeah. And, you know, at that point, that was pretty much like, you know, Wolverine getting, you know, his rage back too when, you know, he finds the professor and all these innocent people that he had tried to help dead. I mean, he, you know, he's not as fast as he once was, but, you know, he'll tear some shit up if he needs to. And Caliban, his buddy, they've pretty much been torturing him and making him track, you know, Wolverine and the professor. He goes out like a boss.
Oh, yeah, dude. Like, I you know, I gotta say, like, there's probably some kind of security protocol that should say don't leave explosives within an arm reach of a, you know, prisoner or something. But
yeah,
you know, yeah, that scene there was fucking awesome.
the head of the Reavers, Donald Pierce, at one point he's torturing because Caliban's like almost like a vampire. He's allergic to sunlight. And he's like, I bet you grew up with your mama telling you to beware the sunlight, and freaking throws them out in the sun as they're trying to convince them to help them. So when he gets his hand on these grenades, they're all sitting there in the truck, and they look back, and he's got two grenades, just pops the pins. He's like, hey, beware the light. Fucking drops the two grenades and blows up the truck and jacks them all up. He went out like a boss. Yeah.
Like, that was intense. Like, that was one of those, like, stand up and fuck yeah moments.
Yes. But, you know, then we get on to, yeah, because Wolverine assumes that this whole, you know, North Dakota meetup is bullshit. Well, it turns out all these kids had used the location that they found in the comic book as a meeting point. They're like, we've got safe passage to Canada. Let's all meet here. You've got until Friday to get here by your various ways so we're not all traveling together. And then we will move on to Canada. So, you know, Wolverine gets her there. And I love the fact that because he's kind of pretty sick by this point, the kids like shave his beard and give him the classic Wolverine look while he's like passed out asleep.
And, you know, I mean, just the shaving of the beard, like shaved like 30 years off of him though. Yeah. Did you notice that? Like,
yes. Oh yeah. He looks so much younger. But you know, and they leave him some kind of drug that's supposed to, you know, help his healing factor and could probably extend his life even farther. But of course the kids get attacked as they're going to the border and he just takes like all of it and just gets one more berserker barrage.
The one instruction is, you know, using small doses and, you know, hell no, you know.
Yeah. He takes the whole thing and just goes to save the kids. And it's not just, you know, because they're all running for their lives, but when he shows up and starts tearing ass, you know, he kind of inspires them and kind of reminded me of, was it Wolverine in the X-Men cartoon where there's no Professor X and Wolverine is forced to step up and become the leader of the X-Men. And, you know, and this looks like where he kind of inspired these kids to fight, you know, not just run, you know, so like all these, you know, new mutants are, you know, taking on these soldiers and I mean, you know, fighting alongside the legend of Wolverine.
And they've got some wicked powers, too. I mean, you know, the one person that, I mean, probably one of the scenes that really stands out is the person that can breathe frost and, you know, freezes a dude's arm and you just see the arm shatter. Like, you know, you wouldn't have seen that in any of the previous X-Men movies, you know, or the person that can kind of control Earth and, you know, basically just has, you know, the freaking underbrush come up and, you know, capture one of the people and, you know, just.
Or when they all like surround Pierce and like all of them are like hitting him with their powers.
Yes.
Destroying him. Oh, but yeah. And then you had the final battle with Wolverine in X-24 where Wolverine had made a bullet of adamantium because he was like, I'm going to get to a point where I don't want to do this anymore. And you know, he'd planned to kill himself at some point. But so X-23 takes that bullet and is able to kill, you know, the evil Wolverine, but not before, you know, Wolverine's mortally wounded. But this is the part where it kind of reminds me of going back to the Wolverine, because one of the things that the samurai tells him is, you're a soldier, and the one thing a soldier always wants is an honorable death. And he's like, I can give you that honorable death. So at this point, like I said, Wolverine knows he's dying through like the course of this movie, but he's kind of just, you know, given up on life. But having to protect the girl, it's kind of inspired him that I want to have that honorable death. I don't want to waste away out in the Mexican desert or on a ship with Chuck. You know, like, I want to go out being the hero one last time. And then there's also a thing from that last movie where Yurio or whatever the girl's name was, her mutant power is that she can see people's deaths. And she tells him, I've seen your death. You are on your back. There's a lot of blood and you're holding your still beating heart in your hand. And pretty much when he dies, he's on his back covered in blood and he's holding Laura's hand. You know, literally, you know, she meant, you know, well, she said, you're beating heart, but, you know, pretty much holding his metaphorical heart in his hand. and telling her, like, don't be me. Don't be the weapon you were designed to be. Be, you know, a good person.
Yep.
And, you know, of course, and then the kids, you know, flee out. But I do like that last thing where they've buried him, they've made a cross, and she gives the Shane speech from the end of the Western about, you know, killing people, and it, you know, affect, you know, that whole long the speech that, you know, she saw in the movie, she kind of, that was her kind of, like, you know, final eulogy of him. And as all the kids leave, she looks at the cross and, like, pulls it out and turns it on its sides and makes an X for...
Yeah, I thought that was freaking awesome.
So as, you know, as we've kind of entered, like, the final phase of X-Men movies, I know there's at least one more of the X-Men First Class series going on with, supposedly taking place in, like, the 90s. But what do you think they go from there? Do you think they continue on with, say, present day and just recast the part? Or do we jump ahead and follow this new mutants, you know, new X-Men growing up and becoming X-Men?
I don't know. I mean, a part of me, where they've left off, really wants to see where these kids blossom and what they're able to create. I mean, you know, they've taken down the, you know, the head of Transigen.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, do we see a resurgence of mutants being born and stuff like that again?
You know? And do these kids take up the mantle of the X-Men since they've, you know, had this example?
And I think that, you know, in my head, like, I would like to see that direction because, you know, these kids, you know, they've lived their life based on what they've seen in these comic books. And, you know, so the teachings of the professor and stuff like that,
I would like to see a lot of
ideals and stuff like that that have been passed on because of that. So,
yeah, I'd like to see them jump back into the story maybe 5-10 years down the where they're now teenagers or young, you know, early adults and have taken up that mantle of X-Men. But my crazy theory is, if there's one person that could have survived all the mutants getting wiped out, it's Deadpool. Deadpool becomes their Professor X. And he even rides around in a wheelchair, not because he needs it, just because he wants the effect.
And I very much see that. And, you know, I mean, well, going back to the whole, you know, when they're in the hotel room above the casino and stuff like that, and Laura's, you know, in the professor's chair, you know, driving around the room and stuff. Like, I could very much see that being a Wade Wilson.
Like, he's riding around the wheelchair teaching class, and he just gets up and goes get a beer out of the fridge. You're like, what? He's like, ah, I just do that for you. The effect. And just sits back down, you know, or something. Oh, yeah, that was, I want to see that movie now.
I don't know. I mean, that may be... That would make a hell of a fan film, I think.
Or, you know, if they are going with the, you know, the more adult or the new generation X-Men, you get like the New Mutants with Cable is you know, because we know we're going to get Cable in the next Deadpool movie. You know, where Cable's the leader of the new X-Men in the future. You know, him and Wade maybe training these kids.
I almost see that needing to come full circle somewhere, you know? I mean...
Or do they just do a hard reboot and start over again?
And that's what I don't necessarily want to see. Like, I mean, there's a lot for new life, new ideas, and, you know, to kind of continue going back and rehashing the same things over and over again, like... I don't know. I'm kind of ready for some new blood, in a sense. I mean...
You know, if they continue on with the series as it's going, I mean, McAvoy, they've already got a new Professor X. He's a young man. He could play Professor X for as long as he wants to, nearly. Who do you think they reboot or if they recast Wolverine, is there anybody that you can see taking up that role? And, you know, someone who was, you know, Hugh's age when he first took up this role, someone, you know, in their 30s, 40s, something like that. They could take it for the next 17 years.
Oh, man. I don't know. Hugh Jackman just... I mean, I think of him as Wolverine.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if I had to think of somebody new, I mean... I don't know. You know, maybe, you know...
I've heard rumors that... what's his name? Freaking that played Mad Max. Shit. I'm having a brain fart.
Yeah, I would have thought of it had you not have...
not Christian Bale, fuck it.
hold on, give me, like...
But yeah, I mean, he's definitely got the intensity. And he's a burly dude. He could probably pull off some Wolverine.
Like a Tom Hardy?
Yeah, that's who I was thinking of, Tom Hardy. You know, friggin' Chris Pratt's got the physicality, but he's in the regular MCU. There's not going to be a whole lot
that's,
of...
That's kind of the thing that,
he's
like,
not
going
to be available for that role, probably.
You know,
not
what's
for
thinking
a while, anyway.
Is... You know, there's a few folks that we've seen, you know, in some of the Netflix stuff, but they're already doing other roles, so it's like, that's going to be a little bit too weird. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I
Tom Hardy could probably pull it off. I don't know how he would look with, like, the mutton chops, though. It's just...
I don't know. Like, he's almost got too much of a pretty boy face for it. Like, I mean, but...
And and Wolverine's also supposed to be kind of short. Freaking Tom Hardy's a big dude.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of curious to see what the future has in store, though. I mean, they've definitely left a lot, you know, to build upon. So, I mean, we'll just have to see what direction. I just hope that
Ben Affleck is free.
No. That's almost like, you know, we're going to have The Rock play Wolverine or something, you know?
The guy from, that plays Poe in the new Star Wars series, he kind of looks a little bit like Jackman. He also played Apocalypse in the last X-Men movie, but, you know, covered in makeup, you wouldn't be able to tell it was the same freaking dude.
Oscar Isaac?
Yes. He kind of has a little bit of a Hugh Jackman look, you know, some you know, makeup and some hair work. Yeah, he might be able to pull it off.
That may be a possibility. I could see Oscar, you know, in that role more so than
We go with a Mexican Wolverine and get the guy from Rogue One.
Get the Mexican Hulk.
Yeah.
Frontera represent.
Oh, yeah. So, as we wrap up, what's your final thoughts on the first of these cigars?
It was too short. That's my only complaint. I mean, it was, dude, it was full of flavor. It was, you know, everything that I wanted it to be. I mean, like I said, Nicaraguan binder filler. You got the, you know, San Andreas wrapper. I mean, you know, it's peppery, but not over the top spicy. It's complex, but it's not like you're freaking out like having an aneurysm trying to figure out exactly what you're tasting or anything. Damn good cigar. I want more quantity of it.
Yeah, like I said, I'd like to be able to find some of the fuller, bigger size of these, because, and the one good thing about this size, like I said, if you don't have time to smoke a full size cigar, you know. You're still on the first one, but I tend to smoke a little bit faster. And then they say it probably took me 45 minutes to finish off mine. So, like I said, if you have, you know, not a lot of time to smoke it, it's, you know, a good one to fit into that. We give you all the strength, but not as much of the time.
Yep, absolutely.
And with that, we'll be right back.
I know I may be old, and I know you wipe my ass, but you must protect the girl. Oh, Logan. Wake up drunk to the sound of a bang. Lay the fucking smack down on this Mexican gang. Driving a limo to afford to pay for Charles's meds. And a boat to keep the world safe from
his
head.
He's got both fists with the claws out. Now he's gonna slice some throats like some Muslim goats. That's the girl that Charles talked about. And she's got blades that poke through the henchman's scrotes.
Donald tells me all the truth, spewing words through his gold tooth. They spawned her with DNA that belongs to me.
Don't play a song, I need your ass, Logan. Just keep your word, she paid you good. Gabriella, we've got to slay to keep them away and get to Eden someday. Don't use your head or we'll be dead. Xavier.
Hey man, it's almost that time.
What time is it?
Beer 30.
The Booze Hounds return.
And we're back. It's time for Beer 30. So, what kind of arrogant beer are we drinking this week, Brad?
Well, since you've so given it away, we are actually drinking the Southern Charred Double Bastard Ale. So this is basically the Arrogant Bastard...
Or the Double Bastard, which is kind of like the Imperial version of the Arrogant Bastard. So it's a high gravity.
But this is the really, really big brother. This beer clocks in at roughly, you know, I think it's 12.7% ABV. So
something like that. And basically it's their Double Bastard Ale, which is American Strong Ale, aged in bourbon barrels. Hence the Southern Charred.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, what I anticipate out of this beer is going to be oaky, malty, a hint of bourbon, and maybe some molasses or something in there. I don't know. We'll see. But, I mean, right off the bat, I mean, the big thing that, you know, hits you, you know, in the nose is that bourbon barrel. I mean, that oak is so prominent, you know.
Yeah. And we're drinking the 2015 edition. Even the description is like an oak bomb bursts on the palate with a well-rounded mixture of deep caramel, molasses, hops, and char, plus hints of brown sugar with bourbon-y influences, amplifying the beer's maltiness.
And I gotta say, that hoppiness, that hits you... Dude, that hit me a lot harder than a lot of IPAs, but it's only for a split second.
Yeah, and then you get that...
And then the malty, molasses...
bourbon-y flavor. Oh, it's so good. As they say, it's for a high-gravity beer, it is one hell of a smooth operator. Bitch, I operate.
Yeah, and, you know, I want to thank the folks at Dawson Fine Wine for once again hooking us up with another fabulous brew. I mean, you know, these guys... I can't say enough about how well they stock their coolers and everything else. Like, they probably have one of the best selections of, you know, craft beer. And then, you know, give a little shout-out to Lead Slingers because we just started getting that in Georgia recently. But, you know, those were one of the first guys that had it and, you know, had a case waiting when I got there. So.
Oh, yeah. This is a good beer.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, this is a beer that I can already tell that it doesn't drink like a 13% beer.
No.
Like, it...
There's definitely not the big, alcohol kick you usually get with, like... I mean, there is, but it's not the alcohol burn. It tastes like I'm sipping a bourbon, nearly, at the finish. Yeah, the oaky molasses caramel flavors is like, oh my god, this is an awesome beer.
I need to figure out how to brew this, but I mean, shit, it's you know, when you think of craft beer, it's hard to, you know, not put these guys in the top of the tier. So I mean, you know, Arrogant Bastard, man, fucking bastards make damn good beer,
kind of like Wolverine.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a beer that you could sit down and then, you know, feel manly about having with Wolverine.
Yeah. Fine cigar and some Southern Charred Arrogant Bastard.
Yeah, I gotta say, it was quite a bit different than I was anticipating. I was, you know, I was thinking it was going to be, you know,
at that alcohol level, you expect more of a barley wine, maybe like a smoky flavored barley wine.
I was thinking smoky. I was thinking, you know, all right, definitely going to have that, you know, warmth of the alcohol. But I mean, dude, this tastes like a damn good beer.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot more of that bourbon flavor than I anticipated. Yeah, this is some good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think it's pretty obvious. I'm at a solid 5.
Yeah. 5. Fucking 5.
We don't give those out, you know, too often, but, you know, deservedly
I'm,
so.
I'm going to have to go back and stock up on a few more of these before they run out.
Yeah.
You know, my birthday's coming up. I need a good beer to drink on my birthday. I'm going to have to go pick up a few more of these.
Yep, absolutely.
Oh, and with that, we'll be right back.
Hello, Marvel Universe. The Earth Station MCU podcast is your home for all things related to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Join our debrief as we discuss Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, upcoming and past favorite Marvel movies, cosplay, comics history, toys, games, interviews, and all things MCU. Whether you're a hero or a villain, a new viewer, or have been reading comics since you were a kid, there's something for you on Earth Station MCU.
And welcome back. It's time for some science.
Yeah, time for me to get my education on.
Gonna learn some stuff. Gonna learn about mutants and genetics and... Oh, wait a minute, that was the Wolverine movies. No, we're gonna learn about other science-y things. Speaking of which... NASA has just released that they've found 7 new exoplanets... with the Spitzer Space Telescope. So basically, this is the largest batch of Earth-sized planets in what they consider a habitable zone, where this is the correct distance. We're like, you know, kind of like where Earth is in a Goldilocks zone for our type of life. You know, any farther away from the sun, it's too cold. Any closer to the sun, it's going to be too hot, and there's not likely to be any water. Where these are all in that zone where, you know, liquid water is most likely present or can be present, and you could actually host, yeah, human-style life.
That's pretty sweet. So, I'm not saying it's aliens, but it's probably aliens.
Yes, this is... These planets are around the star called TRAPPIST-1, and that's what they're... The TRAPPIST... whatever TRAPPIST solar system is what they're kind of calling these planets. Not only are they in this habitable zone, they also appear from, you know, what studying would be able to do, rocky planets. So they're not like a gas giant, like, say, Jupiter or whatnot, that probably doesn't have, you know, any kind of land underneath this big ball of gas. Where this is, you know... Not only is, like I said, these 7 planets in the habitable zone, there's 3 that are like dead center of that zone. So like 3 of these planets are absolutely to the point where we could definitely find Earth-like conditions on.
Yeah, they're still a long way away, though.
It's only 40 light years or 235 trillion miles from Earth.
Only? I mean...
But in the galactic... spectrum of things, it's relatively close to us, located in the constellation Aquarius.
I'm just curious, like, how long it would take.
40, well, if we could achieve speed of light, it would take 40 years. So at our current level of space technology,
nobody's
going to
live to make the
real
trip.
Fucking long time.
Yeah.
But, you know, If we are not alone in the universe, and not saying there's aliens, but
this
would be
what?
A place we could find aliens.
You know, I'm almost wondering, though, like, our idea of life, like, we compare it to what we know as humans, but, you know, who's to say those are the requirements for, I don't know, I'm just saying, like, you know, are we kind of... narrow in the spectrum that you need these things and, you know, something to be able to survive that we don't know about, you know, elsewhere.
Because, you know, life as we know it, yeah, it takes this certain, you know, environment for us to survive. But that doesn't mean that, you know, some other type of organism independently evolved on another planet that's not hospitable to us, that, you know, would be hospitable to another type of life. But I think at this point, as we've, you know, Earth's not going to last forever, so, yeah, we like finding other planets out there that potentially one day could support us.
Why not, man? We got an EPA.
Yeah. Oh.
I've seen Armageddon. We got this. We watched enough bad Hollywood, you know, disaster movies to survive, you know, impending doom, whether it be Martians or, you know, space objects or...
You know, some other differences in this solar system versus our own, since these planets are there's so many planets in that habitable zone, it's, you know, likely that they're, you know, like you'd basically look up and see your next door neighbor planet, you know, like we see our moon. Or, you know, and also they expect these planets are possibly tidal locked, which means where our planet rotates as it's going around the sun, so we get days and nights. Some of these planets are likely one half of the planet is always daytime and one half of the planet is always nighttime. So it'd be differently, interesting change of environment from what we have here.
Wouldn't that be kind of crazy? It's like, I can be both in light and dark.
You're like, yeah, you got a house there on the border. And it's like, this house I have is the dark side. This house is the light side.
This is the living side. This is the sleeping side.
You put the bedrooms on the night side of the planet. Oh. Yeah, so, you know, it's kind of interesting, like I said, that we've found, and you know, the sun that's around is not like our sun. It's a darker, or they call it an ultra-cool dwarf, It's not as bright as our sun. So these planets, you know, are closer to it, where, like, if you were closer to the sun in our solar system, you'd be just, you know, a burned-out rock. But these planets can actually, that kind of increases the likelihood of finding water on these planets, you know, if we're ever able to make it there.
Quick, call in a strike force.
I'll just get all jacked up on some strike force. I can fly to that planet. Or, and if nothing else, it's going to be a plot of a sci-fi movie at some point.
Yeah, absolutely.
AKA Aliens Covenant. Or whatever that new movie coming out is. Oh. Which, have you seen the trailer for the new Alien movie?
Yes.
It looks badass.
We'll talk about some of that nerd news, actually.
Another thing that science has been working on is, you know, have you heard of chicken?
Well, before we digress, because this is kind of sciencey, but it's also kind of nerdy. So, but have you been to O'Reilly Auto Parts website?
Oh, the flux capacitor.
Yeah. So if you type in 121G as a part number, you get the EB Enterprises flux capacitor. So,
and I heard that like this blew up so big on the, it literally crashed the O'Reilly Auto Parts website for a while, because there was so many people going to look for the the flux capacitor.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was awesome, you know, and under the description, it's plutonium is required to operate flux capacitor. Plutonium is used by the onboard nuclear reactor, which then powers the flux capacitor to provide the needed 121 gigawatts of electrical power. Plutonium not available at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Please contact your local supplier.
Like the Libyans. I mean, you get plutonium at Walmart now, can't you?
Upgrade parts are available to the 121 GMF. So, this does fit, you know, it requires a stainless steel body of an 81 to 83 DeLorean DMC 12 with a V6 2.9 liter to properly function, though.
I mean, I have seen those online. We could probably get that.
Plutonium, I don't know.
So, lighten. So, chicken. Right, is actually the number one consumed protein, where people consuming on average 90 pounds of chicken a year. I think I'm already close to that for this year because I just went and did all you can eat wings, so I may be a little ahead of the average at this point. But a company called and I had it and lost it, but have made the first lab grown. Memphis Meats, the first lab-grown chicken. Nice. Basically, it's not a, it's actual meat, but it's grown from stem cells. So it's never a living chicken that has to be killed. So it's kind of a cheat for, you know, you vegan people that don't want to eat like actual living organisms. This is meat made from something that never was living.
Yeah, but then we're going to get right back in that whole stem cell debate, and then, you know, it's going to be really kind of funny because the vegans are, you know, whoever would come out and be like, no, stem cells are a living thing. And it'd be like, well, when we were talking about it from this perspective, it wasn't a living thing. So it's going to be interesting to watch all sides just do a quick 180 to support this lab-grown chicken.
Yeah, Dr. Uma Valetti, who is the co-founder and CEO of Memphis Meats, says this is like what they're calling the clean meat movement, being able to provide meat that doesn't involve any kind of murder, tasty murder. But so far, like taste tests of this grown meat is said it tastes like chicken.
But, okay, so it tastes like chicken, but here's my qualm. And, so we started introducing, genetically modified everything as far as our food sources and everything. And, cancer has skyrocketed. Like, what are the effects, 20, 30 years down the road like, is what I'm curious about.
But at the same time, in a world where we are getting overpopulated and may not be able to sustain the food supply on natural, farming.
We should start letting natural selection take its course.
But at a point where, like I said, we can't produce enough chicken to supply the masses, this would be a way to feed, or even, say, countries like, where food is a problem, where there is mass starvation. This is something, factory-grown meat might be something to, end world hunger in some of these, third world countries.
Yeah. I'm going to stay away from my cynical asshole nature.
Yeah. So if you get this, you no longer have to choke your chicken.
Speaking of choking.
Oh, God.
Hey, you're the one that chose the article, not me.
I was going to hold that one to the end, but yeah, since you brought it up.
Technically, you brought it up.
Engineer creates sex robot that needs to be romanced first is the title of this article. I don't know if you can call him a scientist, but Sergi Santos is a inventor who makes robotic sex dolls. And this new particular model he's called in, Barcelona based, so it's a Spanish scientist. The new sex doll named Samantha, who is equipped with the latest advancements in artificial intelligence. You actually have to romance and foreplay, if you will, to be able to, achieve.
So basically, hand gestures, the grabbing of the hips and positive statements.
Positive statements. It's for some of you like hardcore, gamer nerds that have not left your parents' basement and want to know what it's like to have a real girlfriend, then this is the next step. And apparently, from this article, there's already been a sex robot brothel opened up in so apparently this is a new emerging trend.
Yeah, and I mean it goes as far as having the AI there that sex is not a guaranteed thing. So if you don't play your cards right, so I don't know. I mean maybe this helps men step up their dating game or something and be like, I fucked up on the robot. Imagine if this was real life.
Well, at the same time, I think that's half the reason why people get a sex robot is because they can't get a real woman. So now they're going to get turned down by the robot, too. It's
a double whammy.
Yeah. Or this leads to, freaking replicants and Blade Runner-esque scenarios. And, to go along with the sex robot and possible Skynets.
Holy crap, this thing sells for like $5,000?
Yeah, it's not cheap.
I'm hooking you up.
MIT has made a robot that can read your mind.
Does it know if it wants sex?
Well, this one doesn't look as good as the sex robot. It's just kind of a digital face with two robot arms, but I mean, if you're hard up, you're hard up, I guess. But yeah, this robot...
I read your mind. I see the desperation. You need Samantha.
God. Oh, yeah. MIT's Computer Science and Artificial Intelligence Lab has made a bot that responds to human brain signals. And basically, at the simplest form of this experiment, is this robot sorts different stuff into, and a human observer, you know, if you see the robot doing the wrong thing, putting the wrong item, it will read that, you know, negative response of, you know, the human thinking, oh, you're fucking up, and correct that behavior. So, I mean, and if, like, say you're not paying attention and it doesn't detect that, you know, preemptive thought of you're about to screw something up, and it realizes later on that, oh, I've screwed something up, then the robot feels embarrassed and makes an embarrassed facial gesture with its digital readout face.
I would, like, sit there and try to, you know, just intentionally be like, you're wrong.
Confuse the robot.
Just to see if I can make it second guess itself.
If you want Terminators, this is how we get Terminators.
Well, I mean, don't make shit that can read my mind. Fuck. We already got every government agency there is spying on everything with a microphone or video camera.
Then again, this, you know, could have, you know, manufacturing, you know, implications where, you know, instead of someone having to control the actions of the robot, just basically an observer who doesn't have to, like, think out, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this. He can just be like, all right, you're doing things cool. Nope, you're about to screw up. Fix yourself. You know, like, a simpler command input than, you know, having to program the robot's, you know, actions completely. And this is how we get Skynet.
Yeah.
And with that, we'll be right back.
And now it's time for all things nerdy in Nerd News.
And welcome to Nerd News. So here we're going to talk about some stuff regarding movies, some video games, and just some thoughts and feedback on some of the stuff that's come out more recently. So we got a new trailer for Transformers 5, otherwise known as Transformers The Last Night. And, you know, I was kind of over the Transformers series, and after seeing this trailer, I'm kind of like, I want to see it now. You know, they brought back some of the older robots and stuff that we haven't seen for a while, and, you know, it looks like it's got a fresh facelift, and I'm kind of curious to see what's up.
Yeah, I mean, the last one was not bad. I mean, I kind of got burned out on the whole Shia LaBeouf because he really had no purpose of being there past the second movie. But, you know, getting rid of him and bringing in, you know, Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
Yep.
Yeah, that last movie was a little bit better. And, yeah, this trailer, look, I mean, unfortunately brought another kid because for some reason you always have to have a kid in the freaking Transformers mix.
Yeah, it kind of felt like with
this. The action sequence looked pretty badass.
It almost felt like, you know, we've seen the success of Stranger Things and, you know, them casting a series of kids. And it looks like, you know, we're kind of following, you know, some of that, you know. So I'm wondering if there's going to be quite a coming of age, you know, type feel. I mean, there seemed to be quite a bit of comic relief based on this, you know, second trailer. You know, just in the way that, you know, you can kind of see, like, you know, one of the kids is definitely in the friend zone. So, I don't know. You know, we'll just have to kind of wait and see. But, you know, it looks like, you know, based on what I've seen, you know, Cybertron is a dead planet and Optimus, you know, Prime finds out that he was responsible for killing, and then he finds a way to bring the planet back to life, but in order to do so, he needs to find an artifact, which just so happens to be on Earth.
Yeah, for some reason, he's, like, tearing stuff up and, you know, having to he's kind of turned evil and having to fight against his friends and whatnot.
And I'm wondering, like, is that going to be, like, a recurring thing? Because, you know, looking at the Fast and the Furious trailer, you know, they're going that direction. We got Transformers, like, you know, all that is good is now bad.
I just want to see Rodimus Prime.
Yes. But, I mean, you know, it was, you know, definitely cool. You know, definitely a couple of Chris Pratt moments in that trailer with, you know, the freaking robot, you know, esque dinosaur chewing on the car, and it's like, bad, bad.
Yeah, Marky Mark's treating a giant T-Rex as his, like, dog. What do you got in your mouth? spit it out. So, and it's like a whole police car, and he's like, go back to your hole and think about what you've done.
Yes. So, I don't know, you know, I mean, there's some potential there, so I'm curious to
I'll give it another try.
But, you know, it looks like we're going to get a release date of, was on the 23rd of June, so.
Right in the mid summer blockbuster season.
Of course. All right, and then up next, so, you know, Stephen King tweeted out a poster for a little movie, you know, Dark Tower, you know, based on a series, I believe it was 8, maybe 9 books in that series, you know, but definitely kind of cool, you know, to see this. So I'm excited. You know, I'm not quite sure what the movie adaptation is going to entail, but
yeah, I've never seen or read the Dark Tower series, but just judging from the buzz online, you know, people are very excited about this movie.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, basically it's Pilgrim, there are other worlds than these, come with us on the adventure. So, you know, what is that adventure? We'll see, you know. But, you know, it looks like, you know, we've got a, you know, basically, you know, it's not going to be a straight adaptation for what I'm reading. But, you know, we're going to get some big names, some heavy, you know, hitters as far as stars and casting. You know, it looks like we're going to get a July 28th release date. So, once again, right in that big blockbuster, you know, release, which is kind of odd because this movie was actually set to, you know, come out last month. So, you know, I guess they wanted to work on the visual effects and really dial in some things. So, you know what? I can actually appreciate that because I feel like, you know, oftentimes folks are so apt to try to halfway finish something to meet a deadline, like delay it a few months and give me a final polished product that, yeah, you know, we're truly going to enjoy, not a half-assed attempt that leaves people disappointed.
And then again, also, you know, we've kind of had some early big movies the last month or so that, you know, maybe they're trying to, like, I don't want to go up next to Wolverine or, you know, Logan or whatever, that, especially with a new unproven franchise.
Yeah.
Like I said, you may want to go when there's at a time when there's a little bit less competition.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, speaking of competition, so, you know, I've been giving you shit about this whole Beauty and the Beast thing, right? So, check this shit out, right? So, Beauty and the Beast, you know, freaking opens $174 million in the U.S., $350 million globally. I'm pretty sure it's taken down Batman vs. Superman. Which,
I'm fine with that.
I have to say, I'm happy about.
That movie sucked, and we should punish that philosophy. No more bad DC movies, please.
Yeah, so, well, I mean, it. Well, actually, okay, so it looks like it finished number 2, you know, just behind Batman vs. Superman.
But it's still in theater, so give it another week. And
but, you know, as far as what I'm seeing people say, like, you know, folks are really enjoying this. So,
hashtag furry porn.
You know, I'm not going to hate on it too much. I mean, hey, you know, whatever. It gets folks to explore, you know.
50 Shades of Furry.
Instead of Christian Grey, we got Christian Harry.
I gotta say, I have not watched it yet, but the scenes the clips I've seen looks very much like the original animation. I mean, like the song and dance sequences, you're like, this looks pretty dead on. And even, you know, Lindsay Sterling has done a music video melody of the music from Beauty and the Beast, and I mean, it's a pretty cool video.
Yeah, I like a lot of the stuff that she does, though. A lot of cool adaptations.
And see, because when I went to see, because I saw like an early like 10 a.m. Sunday showing of Logan, and there was little kids coming in dressed as Belle to see Beauty and the Beast. So yeah, that's definitely been a popular response so far.
Yeah, oh, I mean, I figure it's one of those that, you know, especially, you know, people with kids and stuff like that, fucking go all out, you know? I mean, hell, I've seen people do it with Frozen and everything else. I mean,
somebody's got to let it go.
Yep. Just let it go. Let it go. All right, we're done. Speaking of Let It Go, we're going to let it go really, really fast, and we're going to talk about Sonic the Hedgehog.
That's a thing still?
Yeah, so, you know, Sonic Forces, is a new 3D Sonic game that's going to be released on PS4, Xbox One, and PC. But, dude, like, I don't know if you've looked at the little snippet of the gameplay trailer or not. This shit looks absolutely badass.
Yeah, I don't think I've played a Sonic game since, like, maybe Sega Genesis.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, this was, you know, previously known as Project Sonic or Sonic 2017, but, you know, there's definitely been a ton of graphical updates and, you know, there was the Sonic Colors that got released on Wii and Nintendo back in, I think, like 2010. But, you know, the footage, the destructive environment and the background and, you know, just the frame rates and everything. I'm going to have to get this game.
I don't know if this point, like, with frame rates in these next-gen systems as high as they are, if my eyes can keep up with the speed of Sonic.
And that was kind of the thing.
I'm getting too old, man.
You know,
keep up with this shit.
I was looking at, like, there's, you know, a couple of, you know, series where, you know, you're having to go up multiple tiers, you know, through some of, like, you know, those freaking boxes that you could just bounce off of. And, dude, that shit was happening so rapidly. I'm like,
I don't know if I have the reaction time to play that game anymore.
But, you know, it just visually looks absolutely stunning. Like, I don't know. I mean, you know, I haven't really been... I mean, I guess really the last Sonic game was probably Sega Genesis. Like, if I had to, you know, and how they tried to do the fast. And, I mean, hell, there were times that, you know, you were booking through some of the levels. So, you know.
Yeah, and he's appeared in, like, some of the Mario Kart games and whatever, Super Smash Brothers. This is the first time we've had, like, an actual Sonic game in a long time.
And, I mean, you know, not to shit on Nintendo Wii or anything like that, but they're not as, you know, performance-based as your Xboxes, your PS4s, and stuff like that. Yeah. So, you know, to really be able to maximize that hardware and everything else, I think it's really going to change the dynamic of Sonic.
Yeah.
So, anyway, we'll just have to stay tuned.
It's over the shit rigs.
Yeah, don't have a official release date as of yet. You know, just sometime from now to the summer of 2017, we'll see if it gets delayed. I know originally it had been announced to come out sooner, but we'll just have to wait and see. So we'll keep you posted as we get further updates. And something else that's been near and dear to my heart that you've been giving me a lot of shit over because I recently decided I'm going to be a video gamer again. So I started dabbling in the world of Diablo 3. And just like Diablo 2, I devoted about 3 months of my life to the video game, so to speak.
Yeah.
Guess it's been about that long, huh?
Probably, because that's all you ever do. That's why there's a 3-month backlog on the DVR, is because you just play Diablo all day.
Well, not so much now. Now I'm on Ghost Recon Wildlands, but we'll get into that next. But anyway, so, you know, one of the big things in Diablo news is the release of...
Need more hate.
Need more hatred, yes. That is a for real struggle. But the Necromancer, you know, that was a character that was always available on Diablo 2. There are, you know, it is coming. We just don't know exactly when yet. But one of the things I am excited for is it looks like Season 10 will be available on PS4 and Xbox One. So I can actually compete in the leaderboards with some of the PC gamers. And,
woo-hoo,
you know, when I'm making my badass characters and, you know, trying to get, you know, some of the champion armors and stuff like that, I will now be in the mix. And I gotta say, like, the console adaptation of Diablo works pretty seamlessly. So, anyway, stay tuned for further news as we get the 2.4.5 update.
Ooh.
Ooh, fancy, huh?
Numbers and shit.
Yes. And now I'm going to segue into Ghost Recon Wildlands, because that is a game that is currently consuming my life. Bolivia needs me.
And I haven't had a chance to play it yet. Like, as soon as I have enough free time again, I need to pick that up.
Cause... One does not have enough free time. One makes free time.
No,
I could use you in my squad. Right now, I'm pretty lackluster.
It looks a lot like Grand Theft Auto meets Black Ops. It's...
I mean, it's you know, I think... I would say Grand Theft Auto meets Far Cry. And you watch me play the Far Cry Primal game where, you know, just big, massive environment and that type of stuff. You know, this game has just been, you know, immersive. And I'm loving it. Like, the customization options, the ability that you play the game how you want, you know. So if you want to, you know, squat up and somebody, you know, take Overwatch, somebody just run in guns a-blazing, somebody just to kamikaze the shit and kill, you know, themselves and be a dead teammate, and all of that is available.
But just like this, like I said, part that reminds me of Grand Theft is just the open world, and stuff is so spread out that if you're going to walk to a mission, it's going to be a while. So you're having to steal vehicles and helicopters and wherever and travel to get to where you need to be.
So I hopped in a Jeep, and I was like, I'm going to go from this bottom corner of the map to this top corner. I was literally in the Jeep, like, not doing any missions, no nothing, for, like, a good 45 minutes. Like, just straight driving. And, you know, it's, you know, I mean, I've always been a big fan of the Tom Clancy games. You know, I think this is what The Division wanted to be. You know.
And just the customization of your character, too, where you can smoke a cigar.
Like, you could be operator as fuck.
Yeah, I mean, I swear, like, your first character looked like Matt Best smoking a cigar, because, you know, operator hat, sunglasses, beard, full tattoos.
I mean, he still looks that way. He's just got a little ghillie suit on now, so I can better conceal myself from the freaking Unidad helicopters. Goddamn Bolivian Special Forces, my ass.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
And there is a lot of cocaine. But that's kind of the other funny thing is, yes, as serious as the game is, like, when you hop in vehicles, like, certain radio stations have those shitty, you know, cocaine commercials and stuff like that that you would anticipate being straight out of, you know, Grand Theft Auto. But yeah, the other thing, too...
Even, like, the map interface when you're looking at it, if you did not know that you were playing... You know, Badlands, you would assume that you were playing a Grand Theft Auto. It just like the navigation system looks very similar to that interface.
Yeah, and the other thing too, so, you know, some of the groups that we follow on Facebook that are pretty veteran, you know, heavy oriented, like, you know, some of the, you know, poking that goes on and the shit talk and, you know, the camaraderie, like, your characters have that. Like, I literally feel like I'm watching my Facebook feed at some time, like, you know, the way the characters are interacting with one another and, you know, the stuff. Like, you'll go and pick up a medal and be like, man, for these cartel guys, I thought their medals would be a lot nicer than this. This looks like it came from the Air Force or a Cracker Jacks bottle or something, you know? So there's always, like,
damn,
a little bit of fun being poked and, you know, I think that just adds another interesting dynamic that, you know, some folks may not understand.
Yeah, I mean, some Lead Slingers downloadable content in the game.
Yeah,
I just play that game like blasting a freaking bitch operate over the headset.
I have.
You start yelling, I'm big as shit, bro, when you're getting attacked.
It doesn't work. And that's what I got for news.
All right. Check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever podcasts are found. But if you go to iTunes, leave us a review, like the show. It helps, you know, people find us when they're searching around stuff. You can find us on CigarNerdPodcast.com. We're also on the ESO Network at ESOPodcast.com. You can find merchandise at Zazzle.com/CigarNerds, RealMenSmokeCigars/CigarNerds. Pick up some energy drink at StrikeForceEnergy.com, promo code CigarNerds. And with that, Berserker Barrage, bub.
And this has been a recording of the Cigar Nerd Podcast with your hosts, Smokin' Joe and Brad Jackson. Join us next time for more adventures in nerddom.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.